This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 385. You can't hold yourself to robot standards.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda. How you doing?
I'm a little congested, but I'm okay.
You survived the plague. That's really impressive.
You know, it's weird that there's like this weird outburst in certain states of a really bad stomach bug. Like, in Massachusetts is one of them, but, like, the other ones are, like, Midwest, so it makes no sense that it's over here.
Somebody is carrying that disease across the country is what happened.
Some dude on some red eyes is, like, sneezing in people's faces all over the country.
You know, and that's just mean. You don't just make people sick because you can.
I know. Like, that's rude. A douche mood.
It's rude. So rude. You know what's not rude?
Our show is often rude and inappropriate.
It's definitely often inappropriate and always only sometimes rude.
All day, every day.
Yeah, that's how we do. So, this week, we got games stuff to talk about. Whole show games stuff to talk about as we build up to our E3 coverage because ESH will be going. Hot diggity diggity. To the E3s once again. This will actually make my 7th E3.
Holy crap, man.
Yeah. 8 invited, 7 attended. So that's a pretty good streak.
That's a good count.
I gotta say, ratio. You know, considering we just celebrated our 8th anniversary, pretty much every year since we've existed, we've gone to E3 except for one.
Well, I mean, I couldn't go to a couple of those because my jobs wouldn't allow that.
Yes. But. And you aren't just like, fuck this, and throw the table.
I no, because I like being able to pay my bills kind
Dude,
of sort of on time.
I like being able to be able to pay bills kind of sort of on time, too. I knew, you know.
I'm living the dream right now.
I'm about that life. All I'm saying is, like, if the other end of that is, eat ramen for a month, go to E3...
I mean, I like ramen. I would eat.
There's so many things you can do with ramen on the cheap, though.
You want ramen toast? Bam! Put ramen on some toast. You want a pastry puff? Put in a pastry puff. Bitch.
Okay. All right. Hard boil an egg. Eggs are still cheap, yo. Hard boil an egg. Slice that sucker up. Put it on the top. Boom.
I mean, you gotta be careful about that sodium intake, though, with that ramen because
you gotta be careful with that. But you know, that's why you offset it with veg.
Yeah, dude.
Veg is cheap. Get some bean sprouts in that bitch.
Ooh,
some peas. All I'm saying is, like, if that's the choice, I like ramen. See you in LA. That's pretty much how I'm living, which is why I am attending this year. Yeah. KBD is also going to be with me in LA, and we are just going to enjoy the debauchery, play a bunch of games, all that kind of stuff. But in leading up to that, we got to talk about games
because
there's all kinds of stuff happening all over the place. You know, one of the things that Nintendo announced was that once again, they would not be doing their a traditional media briefing at the show, which surprised us last year. And then they had this off the cuff, basically media briefing. But instead of being in the Nokia theater with thousands of people, they gathered like 600 people into their floor space and did their briefing that way and announced it. And they streamed it on Nintendo Direct. So it was a briefing without being I'm doing air quotes here, briefing. So we're curious to see if Nintendo will do that again this year. I imagine that they will, seeing as how they just posted their annual earnings for the year and they're down like
a lot.
Yeah. Like, almost half a billion?
Holy crap.
That's with a B? A B?
Are they in trouble?
Well, I mean, any time that you go into casting your fiscal earnings, your projected earnings, and you say yourself that you expect to do $526 million in profit, and you end the year not only not profitable, but actually in the hole, and in the hole, almost the amount that you said you were going to be positive. It's not a good day for the financial team. It's also not a good day for the marketing team.
Did people get fired?
And there's some VPs that are probably not VPs anymore.
Uh-oh.
But it's a very interesting thing when you start looking at some of the reasons why. One of the things is that Nintendo really expected that the Wii U was going to sell bonkers. And it didn't.
Well, I hate to say, I told you so, Nintendo, but...
They really expected that that was going to lead the charge, especially with the adaption of the gamepad, gameplay, second screen element built in. They really thought that it was just going to pick up all those hardcore and casual gamers that, you know, aren't necessarily in for the cutesy lifestyle, the kid games, so to speak, that Nintendo really excels at doing and has been the known console for delivering. And that didn't happen, mostly because, frankly, to be honest with you, a big chunk of those games that would appeal to your hardcore gamers and to your, I would call them mid-level gamers, which I've said before, which is a little bit above casual, but well below hardcore, just aren't there. They're not supported on the platform.
And not to mention, I mean, they were promising us, you know, third-party games, like AAA titles, and I haven't really seen that many.
They're sporadic. You know, Watch Dogs was going to be launched across all platforms at the same time, including Wii U, and that was one of the games where I thought that it would really make a lot of sense to get it on the Wii U because of hacking the city and things like that, being able to control that on the second screen as opposed to necessarily having to bring that HUD up on your main screen all the time, made a lot of sense to me. Not only did Watch Dogs get pushed back on its release and no longer was a launch title for the next-gen consoles, but it got even more pushed back on the Wii U version than the launch titles. So as it sits right now, the dev team is still currently working on the Wii U version of Watch Dogs. It is not GM yet or ready to go. So, you know, there's this lack of third party that was supposed to rise the tides. There's this lack of groundswell around updating the Wii U because, to be honest with you, I think a lot of families and a lot of the people that picked up the Wii initially were just now getting into the groove and getting into the hang of good games with their system, with the Just Dance series of games really knocking things out and, you know, more Mario games on the platform now that made sense. You know, they were just getting into the groove when Nintendo released a new box. So I think it's just a lot of bad timing choices. I think that fed into that loss. Now, that being said, Nintendo is going to be very, very heavily hanging their hat on, and I can only imagine, Mario Kart 8 and Super Smash Bros. Rising the tide.
If any titles could do significant bonus damage, it would be those two. Everyone's been waiting for another Brawl. Everyone's been waiting for that. So people will come back to the platform solely for that.
The excitement around Brawl, and not just individual gamers, but you also have your tournament players being very excited about the title coming back. I think that that will be a huge, huge help for Nintendo. I can't imagine that they're not going to be showing it off at E3 and letting people play. It would be to their detriment if they didn't. But I think that, you know, there's also the group of people who love Mario Kart. And I think that Brawl will probably be a bigger lift as far as the mid-level gamer, possibly to even hardcore, than Mario Kart. But I feel what you're missing from the mix is if you really want to come out kicking ass, taking names, and try to recoup on the software sales side, you gotta come out with a Zelda game.
Yep.
You got to.
But I don't even think that they've even thought about what they were going to do after Skyward Sword.
You know they have. If they're smart at all at Nintendo, which they are, these are not dumb people, okay? They are absolutely, absolutely working on, at least in some core fundamental way, a Zelda game. Because those are your kingmakers on the platform. Mario.
Yep.
And Zelda.
Yeah, well, granted, this is also the year of Luigi, so I think we're going to see
Luigi's coming into his own for sure, but as far as...
He's not the panty dropper of Nintendo.
Luigi's not a console mover.
No.
Luigi in concert with Mario is. Luigi by himself is not a console mover, and that's okay. Zelda is a console mover. Period. End. Okay?
Yep, him, her, well, Link. Yes,
Link... And Link, Zelda, new Zelda, consoles.
Mario. Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong to a degree. I think Donkey Kong's coming back into the realm of being a console mover because he was just absent for so long.
Yeah, I would agree to that.
So, but your kingmakers there on the Nintendo side of the world, and they know it, are Mario and the Zelda franchise. Just like the kingmaker on the Microsoft side of the planet is Halo.
Yeah. Or Destiny.
Destiny, I don't know, is a console mover yet. That kind of remains to be seen.
Well, I mean, it's essentially Halo, so...
But still, it remains to be seen whether or not it's a kingmaker. So I can't sit here and say it's a kingmaker, it moves consoles. We know Halo moves consoles for Microsoft.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know that Destiny moves consoles for Microsoft yet. We'll find out. Okay, but Halo moves consoles for Microsoft. Okay, just like on the Sony side, you kind of have a couple that move consoles. Killzone definitely moves consoles for them with one niche. I think God of War moves consoles for them with another niche.
Yep. I wonder if we're getting another one of those anytime soon.
You know, I'll tell you what. I can't imagine that Santa Monica Studios is not trying to figure out a way that makes sense to bring Kratos back. Because, spoiler alert, when you finish the last God of War game, just like the first game, you think Kratos is... You think... Well, you know, that's the best way to end a story, right? You bring it back to the beginning.
Yep.
But it wasn't quite the beginning. Because you beat the ever-loving Jesus out of Zeus. Athena's still alive. More than likely, Zeus is still alive. Because it's really hard to kill a god.
But I mean, you kind of rip his head off.
You do. But again...
Spoiler alert for those
Zeus.
Who don't know.
Zeus is in fact,
you know, a god.
The god of gods.
Yeah.
So it's possible that that was a doppelganger. I'm just giving Sony Santa Monica Studios the in to like work it through, because Zeus was constantly taking over other people's bodies and representing himself in different ways in the lore. So it's not hard to believe that he would send a manifestation of himself, but not actually himself.
True that.
He's
a sneaky bitch.
Fight his son. But anyway, moving right along. Again, more spoiler alerts. Where you end God of War 3 is you think Kratos is dead. Athena's still out in the world because he doesn't kill Athena, so there's still a god. There are a couple of demigods that I don't think that we killed. And credits roll, and if you watch through the credits, at the end, there's a scene where you see a trail of blood from where Kratos' body was to the edge of the cliff. So Kratos has once again fallen off the cliff. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's died, because Kratos has fallen off a cliff bleeding to death multiple times in the franchise.
I mean, that seems to be kind of what happens metaphorically to him in his whole story. He's always falling from a high point to a low point.
He's falling from grace over and over again. You know?
Yeah.
And so it's, to me, it's interesting, and I think that one of the points from the third game that I pulled was that, you know, not just fear and chaos and despair rang out into the world when Pandora's box was opened the first time by Kratos, but also hope. And I choose to believe that that hope that came out into the world was actually Kratos. Because I think that Athena kind of saw the time of the gods ending because man needed to really drive his own...
destiny!
Yeah, destiny. And so in order to do that, the gods have to be knocked out to stop interfering and trying to drive and change the course of man. Athena doesn't have the power to do it, nor the stomach to kill her own siblings. But hey...
So how does my half-brother do it?
Her half-brother, who kind of really has a good reason to be pissed off, because his own brother and father fucked him over pretty much all of his life.
All day, every day.
It just kind of fits. So if that's the case, and Kratos is the hope of the world, can't really die. Hope can't die, right?
That's right.
So, yes, I think that there will be another God of War game. It will have to take place after the events of the third game, because we've already done the prequel of learning pretty much everything of how Kratos from a child became the Kratos that we know and love. So I think there is another game in there, because there's not just the, you know...
Greek, Roman gods, there's Norse.
You've got Norse gods, you got...
Chinese.
I mean, there are so many gods that, you know, could be killed while Kratos is on a journey. Just throwing that out there, especially because if he has, you know, Zeus's boom daddy fatty sword with him when he fell off the cliff, that could give him slight immortality because he's a demigod. So, yeah, I think there's another game in there. And I think that it'll be interesting to see if Sony even hints at that at E3. There are all kinds of rumors that are rolling around about E3 and media briefings. One of the rumors that's swirling again is... about Last Guardian.
No, yes. Yeah, it's swirling. Don't torment me.
It's swirling again because, you know, we'll be the second year into the PS4.
You know what? Maybe I should just get fired right before E3 so I can go.
I'm just saying. Now, there are rumors.
I will cry.
I don't buy into rumors until they are made real, but I think... You know, because one of the reasons that they said that Guardian wasn't gone, it was just on hiatus. It's because I don't think that the PS3 really had all the power to do everything that they wanted the game to be able to do. But now you're coming into, when we do this media briefing at E3, getting close to starting off year two of PS4. Developers should have a much stronger grasp of what the console can do. We've seen through Battlefield, through Infamous, Second Son, what this thing is capable of. If Guardian is going to come back, boy oh boy, wouldn't this be the show to just let that thing run? Just putting it out there, just, you know, as a thing.
Oh, I so hope it happens.
I'm hoping that it happens too, because, you know, for me, Guardian would be... the game that made me get a PS4 right now. Like, if Sony said, hey, by the way, Last Guardian's gonna ship in October, I would buy a PS4 right this minute and eat ramen for the rest of the summer.
Do it now!
It would be a done deal. Like, if they say Guardian, it's done. But if they say Kratos, seriously, I will be ordering a PS4 on my phone during the media briefing.
And you've done that before.
I have done that before. So it will happen again. Mark my words. So I'm very excited to see, you know, what happens at the briefings. I have no idea what Microsoft's coming to the table with. And that both excites me and scares me at the same time, because they've been very, very quiet.
They're oh so quiet.
And typically when, you know, distributors are quiet, they're either working on something really, really big.
Like, so big.
Or they don't have any exclusives and they're just going to be showing off, as far as software goes, platform versions of those games from developers. You know, I fully
expect...
Look, we're
going to show you real time of a chick eating an apple. It's real time.
Yeah, you're going to see Call of Duty stuff from Sony and from Microsoft. I don't think you're going to see Call of Duty stuff from Nintendo. Which is sad, because they really need it. You're going to see Assassin's Unity, which I can't wait.
Assassin's Creed in space! Ask Creed in space.
No, not Ask Cred in space.
Oh.
Ask Cred
in the water. No, we've already done that.
No, in France.
Viva la France.
Exactly, during the revolution.
But a lot of the roofs and stuff in France are all kind of like flat.
One of the things... This is
outside of the Eiffel Tower. No, you can't jump off the Eiffel Tower. You'll die.
Amanda, stop. You need to watch Unity videos. There's only, I think, two of them right now that tease. Okay, it's going on during the revolution. Okay, because they show a guillotine.
Got it.
People getting that. But one of the big rumors is that this is going to be the game where both Assassins and Templars are very prevalent. So for most of the games, you've been going after key Templars to take them out and get whatever piece of Eden or a clue that they have or codex page and things like that. Not necessarily a story mover.
Mm-hmm.
You got into a little bit more of the story mover with the Templars in the last game, Black Flag. Mostly because as you're going through Edward Kenway's line, we all know that Haytham switched sides.
Traitor.
And we haven't learned why. I think we're going to learn why. Because his daddy wasn't really a Templar, faked being a Templar, saw the light, became an assassin. But somewhere along the line, Haytham is going to leave the assassins and become a Templar. So we got to figure out why that happened. Because that's going to be, like, a big deal. Okay, so we now have a new Assassin's game. And I got to tell you, I've really enjoyed the last three Assassin's games.
We know.
They're just fun. And not just for the collection piece, but the storytelling, actually, I think, has gotten better and better. And how they weave together has gotten better and better. And I think part of that is from them being co-developed at the same time. So I'm there. Yubi, you get my money. I'm going to buy it. I can't wait to see it. It's going to look great on all the consoles. Woo. Seriously, take my money. So it'll be interesting to see what Microsoft focuses on as their kind of kingmaker for this E3. You know, haven't heard anything about any new Halos or things going on with Master Chief. I expect that we'll get a little bit deeper look at Sunset Overkill because Insomniac really want, you know, to know more about that because that looks like just crazy cracked out Jet Set Radio, and I'm there, take my money again. So it'll be interesting to see what the big three come with, and then obviously everybody else on the floor bringing their stuff. You know, Atlas is showing off some Persona content for sure, because Atlas, but Lord knows what else they're going to have to show off. You know it's going to be good. Atlas is like the king of JRPGs, so...
I mean, they're kind of sitting on seeing how well Dark Souls 2 is going to be perceived generally, since it's now out and people are getting their hands on it.
Pretty much it's a done deal that that's done well, because my social feeds have been filled with nothing but Dark Souls stuff. So...
Yep, I still haven't bought Dark Souls 2. I'm going to, and I'm going to hate myself and love myself at the same time, but we know this dance, so not new news.
No, but what is new news, just to close out the Nintendo story? What is new news, just to close out the Nintendo story and to move on to my other thing before Panda takes it away?
You're very, very exciting news that I can't wait for you to talk about. You should talk about it right now.
The one thing that really surprised me was that 3DS sales were down for Nintendo. That's a big one. When Nintendo isn't moving 3DS units or handheld units, like
something is wrong.
Well, it's not that it's wrong. It's that, you know, one of the things that we talked about early on was that Nintendo was kind of missing the boat on mobile because smartphones were getting better and smarter with more memory and bigger hard drives. And tablets were getting bigger hard drives and more memory. And it's very easy to develop games now for iOS and for Android.
And I could trip over my foot and make a game.
And we've seen in the last year that a lot of independent developers are developing for iOS and Android and deploying on iOS and Android and easily porting their mobile versions for deployment on Steam. And so they're not having to rely on Nintendo or Sony or Microsoft supporting independent releases. They're able to manage it themselves on these platforms and, you know, make decent money. And I think that that shows in the fact that for, you know, the first time that I can remember in my adult career, 3DS sales are down while Android and iOS sales are way up.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Because think about it, almost any independent game release that I have seen on Steam in the last 6 months has also been available via either iOS or Android as well.
Yep, that's very true.
Okay, they're not popping up as 3DS games. They're not getting dev, you know, deals and distribution deals with Nintendo to be on 3DS. I think it's finally starting to bite them in the butt a little bit about their licensing structure because it costs so much to develop and deploy on Nintendo's platforms where it doesn't on Steam and Android and iOS that those guys are living on those platforms now. And I'm more apt to play a game that's on my phone while I'm sitting at the airport than necessarily whip out my 3DS. Like, I only take my 3DS out and play games on it if I'm going to a gaming convention because I know I'm going to pick up a bunch of people on Street Pass.
Yep, and that's the only reason why I take mine out these days unless I'm playing Rhythm Heaven because I just want a palate cleanser before jumping into something else.
Yep.
But Street Pass is really probably the only thing that keeps a lot of people on their DSs.
Okay. Now, I have Animal Crossing New Leaf and I pay that every once in a while, but what I play every single day on my iPad is Threes.
I've heard of Threes.
Yeah, it's addictive. You just want to better your score because you want to be better at math and you want to see the pattern and you never
I'd
see
love
the,
to, I'd love I to never be see the pattern.
And I watch that stupid robot play it and just crush it. And I'm like, I think but I'm
that's
doing
a, that. But that's a robot.
But I think I'm doing like damn good if I get over 3,000. I'm like, yeah, I make math good. What?
You're not a robot, so you can't hold yourself to robot standards.
I want to crack 4,000. So anyway. But I do, and I play Threes on my iPad. I play it on my iPhone. When I have my lunch break at my day job and I'm eating my sandwich, I play Threes, or I play Dots, or I play Word Welder. I play a bunch of different games. They're all right there in my pocket on my communication device, and I don't have to carry a third device to do so. So I think that Nintendo needs to come real strong to E3 with a console mover for 3DS and not a new DS device.
No.
A mover for 3DS. Nobody needs a new DS.
No, okay? I don't. I don't even have the XL. Like,
no, I don't have an XL either. I'm still rocking my 3DS. And I don't want to upgrade it unless they come out with something that really, like, quakes me and makes me move. I also don't own a Vita. I don't see that changing, again, unless Sony comes out with something that quakes me and makes me move. Because if I'm going to game mobily, I'm going to do it on my tablet.
Hear, hear.
Or I'm going to do it on my phone. Like, you've missed the boat on that one. Even the second screenplay with the Vita and the PS4, I'm really not interested in that.
If you don't study your demographic, you won't pass. Gandalf said it best.
Did Gandalf say that?
He said, yeah, you won't pass.
Yeah, that's true. He did say that. And you know what? You do not fuck with Gandalf the Grey.
No way. Or the white.
Or the white.
You just don't fuck with him, period.
Or the wise.
Or that brown guy.
Yeah, don't. Just don't. Movie. Don't. Just don't. Don't fuck with hobbits.
Don't fuck
They're
with
scrappy,
wizards.
They're scrappy, but see, just don't fuck with fairy tale figures, and you should be okay.
Yeah,
you should
you're
be
good.
Fine. You should be fine. So the other news that I have, which I got to tell you, when I saw this come across my Facebook feed,
Did you squee in excitement like I did on the toilet?
I did squee. I squeed. I wasn't on the toilet. I was.
I was
looking at my feed, sitting at my desk. But I squeed, and the people around me just kind of looked at me. I was like, "Sorry, I just had a nerd moment. It's okay. It's everything's fine. Please resume what you were normally doing. I'm fine." A game that we have talked about many times.
We have been waiting for years.
For this.
And
so
you could go through
go
our
back.
Show.
Let's go back. Literally. Yeah, we have. We have. Like, and as a matter of fact, Panda still has the copy of this game.
And it sits that proudly was, on my gaming, my retro gaming shelf in my
that
bedroom.
That was my copy that I tracked down that I gave to Panda because she loved the game as much as I did. Tried for months to find a copy of it and couldn't. And so I gave it to her lovingly out of my heart and said, "Here, take this in my name and play this, for it shall bring you joy, but treasure it always."
I do still.
So, Frequency and Amplitude. Two games from Harmonix that I think define Harmonix.
Yes.
And I absolutely love them, but Amplitude I loved better than Frequency.
I couldn't get into Frequency.
Frequency was good, but Amplitude was better.
Yes.
It was a little bit more complex, even though it simplified some things. But Frequency and Amplitude, so FM and AM. Amplitude, lots of digital music. And I gotta say that probably Amplitude reinvigorated my love of EDM, dance music, trance at the time. Because it introduced a lot of groups that I had never heard of, like Quarashi, who I absolutely love now, and things like that.
And the and Crystal Method!
And Freeze Pop, who I also love. So, Amplitude was a beat blaster game, and was the precursor to Guitar Hero. You had songs that you played, and you had a little spaceship that you piloted, and there were tracks for each piece of the music of the song that you were playing. So you had the bass track, you had the guitar track, you had a keyboard track, you had a vocal track. And you had spots on each of those tracks that you had to blow up using your beat blaster. Okay, so just like you had notes on your ribbon in your Guitar Heroes rock bands that you strummed in time, release the music. Sound familiar?
Yes.
Okay, so Amplitude. Amazing, 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 wonderful, awesome PlayStation 2 game. Never came out on the PS3, never came out for the PS4, because...
And then there was Rock Band Blitz, which was kind of, sort of...
Rock Band Blitz was basically, I think, an homage to Amplitude.
Like, the mechanic was very similar.
And I have Blitz, and I play it on my Xbox, usually about once a month. Just because it reminds me of Amplitude. It's not quite Amplitude, but it reminds me of it. Well, anyway, I'm sitting and I'm going through my social feeds, and up pops on my Facebook feed that Harmonix is doing a Kickstarter. And first I'm like, hey, it's not April 1st. What's up with the April Fools? Because the Kickstarter is to create a PS4 port of Amplitude.
Yay!
Yep. I gotta tell you, I was beyond stoked. I immediately went to Kickstarter. And as you guys know, I've mentioned before, I very rarely jump in and kickstart projects. They really have to be very creative or very neat or just something that piques my interest in some way for me to come up out of pocket for it.
It has to touch your little ninja heart.
It does. It really does. I think I've kickstarted 5 things now at this point.
I've only kickstarted 2.
But there are crazy reward tiers. They just updated a new one. So the Harmonix team is looking to raise $775,000 so that they can port this game. Add some music. All that kind of stuff. Currently, as we speak, they've already cracked 200,000 of that. And there are 11 days to go in the Kickstarter. So the Kickstarter ends on May 23rd. I gotta tell you, if you guys like music rhythm games at all, you really need to check out this Kickstarter. Do a YouTube search for some gameplay of Amplitude. Like, it's really an interesting, crazy game. They've posted a couple of videos showing some of the artwork that they're working on and some of the level design that they're working on, because it's not just a port of the game. They are taking it HD. The sucker's going to run at 60 frames a second. And the music is going to be crazy. You gotta check this one out. Amplitude, I think, is kind of the cradle from which the music sim rhythm games that we all know and love, that we're also hoping make the jump to next gen as well, because I feel like there's definitely a place for Rock Band in new console land, as long as I don't have to get new peripherals. Please, 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 please.
I know, where would you effing
I have
them?
No room for any more peripherals. I have 5 mics, just in case one breaks. I've got the full electronic drum kit set, not the cheapy one, but the nice one that you can plug into Logic and it's a drum kit. I've got 4 guitars, which you still have one of my nice guitars.
Yep, it's sitting upstairs in our new improved Esh space.
And I have a keyboard. I cannot do...
A guitar.
Yes, I cannot do any more peripherals. So in Rock Band, the newness does make it into existence. Please don't require me to get new peripherals. Please, please, please.
You know they're...
No, there better be a damn adapter.
They're gonna make really cool instruments that are all like Tron-esque.
No.
The new, oh, yeah.
No.
And you're gonna be like, they're so pretty.
No, as it is.
Like a moth to the flame.
As it is, I still was not able to track down the Squire... Stratocaster that was a full stringed guitar that you could also use in 3 so you could learn to play guitar, because that's what I was going to do. I still to this day haven't been able to track one down.
And aren't you happy, because where would you put it?
No, because I literally, what would happen is as soon as I got that guitar, all other guitars would go into storage, and because nobody comes over to play Rock Band with me anymore.
True.
You don't come down to play. You honestly don't think I'm bringing the drum kit up here.
No.
So.
No. Though if it was up there, I would probably play it. Play bing, 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 bing. That's not how drums sound. But in my mind, that's what they sound like.
Yeah, well, that's not what they sound like. So, the Kickstarter. Like, boom, boom. Go to Kickstarter, search for Amplitude or just Harmonix. You definitely want to check out the Kickstarter. Pledges start at $10. They go up to, like, Redonk. I think, like, the biggest one was, like... 10,000? Yeah.
Whoa.
So, yeah, it goes crazy. So, if you, for instance, I pledged at the $70 level, I'm probably going to up my pledge to like $125 because I've added more stuff in and I want this game. But once you get above like the $30 pledge level, you get a download code for the game 2 weeks before its official release. Your name is going to be in the credits of the game as funding it.
Oh my God, done.
If you pledge at like the $70 level or above, you get a copy of the soundtrack, you get an art book, same stuff as the levels of perks above. You start getting into the $125 more range. You get a PlayStation 2 style box for the game. So remember the original art, which Panda, you should still have. You get a game box in that style, plus the art book. You also get a blaster that is being designed for backers only. So the blaster is the little ship that you pilot across the tracks of this game.
Oh my God, are you serious?
That's why I'm thinking about upping my pledge. So they're making a backer-only blaster.
I want one!
Yeah, so that comes in at the $100 pledge level or above. You start getting into, like, the high-dollar ones. Like, you pledge $250 or more. You get invited to the backer-only PAX East Amplitude launch party that they're going to have at PAX East 2015. Plus, you get the T-shirt. You get...
you have me a T-shirt. I'm done. $250.
You get a T-shirt that's designed for the game. You get the original Amplitude compositions on vinyl.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like the perks are like no joke. Plus, you know, everything that comes before.
Is vinyl the big one or is it like a 45?
No, vinyl's the big one, not 45.
Okay.
They were 45s, they'd say 45s.
Okay, I'm learning.
So, that is going down. And then they just get, like, ridiculous. If you pledge at the $3,000 level, you can beta test at the Harmonix Boston office. So you get to vote.
Wait, will they pay me to beta?
No, you're paying to beta, you dingling.
Oh.
You're giving them $3,000. They're letting you come and beta test the game.
It'd be great if I played $3,000 to work for them and then got paid after them. Would be cool.
That's not how that's going to work.
I know.
Okay. You pledge $3,500, you get to do that, plus have dinner with the Harmonix founders.
And then maybe impress them enough so that they want to hire you to be a game tester. How much money?
Okay, that's $3,000. The $3,500. If you pledge $3,501 or more, you get dinner with Double Fine's Tim Schafer.
What?
Yeah. So.
Oh my god, I totally would have dinner with Tim Schafer.
Okay.
And dazzle him with my twits.
With your twits?
My twits.
Okay. You pledge $8,000 or more, Harmonix will throw you a party, plus all the perks
before. Wait, they'll throw me a party?
Yes.
For, like, what? Just for backing.
Yes, for backing at $8,000.
Has anyone backed at $8,000 yet?
I have to go back to the page. I don't think that anybody has yet. Pledge...
Maybe I'll be the first one. Boom! Party for me!
If you pledge $10,000 or more...
No, that's a little rich.
You could have a jam session with Harmonix. Get a Boston helicopter tour.
What?
Plus... everything else.
So wait. Let me get this straight. So at $8,000,
you could be in a plane with Harmonix.
$8,000, I get to get all that awesome stuff.
Yes.
I get to have lunch with Harmonix people. Then I get to have dinner with Tim Schafer.
You don't get the dinner with Tim Schafer at the $10,000 one.
No,
they have
a grid.
Yeah.
At $8,000, you get that. But if you get $2,000 more, you have a jam session. So
yep.
If you don't play an instrument, you're just going to watch other people jam.
Yep.
Then they're going to put you on a helicopter.
And you're going to take a tour of Boston with them.
And
you get to vote on the final soundtrack. You get the vinyl, you get the t-shirt, you get the game box, you get everything.
You get all the things.
You get all the things, except you don't get the party because they're taking you on the helicopter tour.
Okay.
So, there's a grid. Like, if you go to... their Kickstarter page, like they had a grid that literally lists out all the rewards so you can see what the check boxes are. So if you pledge $7,500, check. If you pledge $8,000, check on all the different perks that they
have. Now, you see, I guess some people, I would rather have a party, man. Because I'm scared fucking heights.
Okay, dude, Harmonix throwing you a party, like throwing a party for you, in your name?
Like, could I pledge $10,000 but just have a party and not the helicopter tour? Like, can we make the party just $2,000 more awesome?
Can you just float that over into that? Well,
yeah.
You gotta remember that the money's being floated towards developing the game, so they're gonna be throwing you the party. But they probably would be amenable to that if you were gonna
do it. I have some more awesome fruit snacks?
But you're not, because we don't have cash like that. So I'm between upping my game to either 125 or 250, just depending.
Because
I really want the vinyl. I really want the vinyl bad. We're not going in for $8,000, Panda. Sorry.
My God.
Although Harmonix throwing Esh a party would be kind of cool.
That would be like the coolest fucking thing ever.
It would be the coolest fucking thing ever. It's not going to happen. But I really, really want the vinyl because I want to put them on display. In my office, basically.
And I think you should. It would warm up the space a lot.
Plus, it would give me the ability to actually rip them because I do have my turntable.
Yes, I know you do. We all know you do.
Hey, dude, you got to keep... Look, I love vinyl. I make no bones about it. Fuck the haters. I love vinyl. It sounds warmer, richer. I love that shit. So that's why I still have my turntable and I love it to death. Techniques all the way. All I'm saying is the Amplitude Kickstarter is go, guys. Go.
It's real.
Guys. Back that shit. You will not be sorry. I don't care what.
Back that shit up.
I don't literally. Care, I don't care what level you back it at. Back that shit up.
Just do it.
Just back it. And that's all I got. Panda?
Oh, great. My turn.
Your turn. I ran my mouth.
And it was all good. I have no qualms with you running with such big balls.
Balls so big.
Not a problem. So my balls are not nearly as big. Obviously.
Tiny balls.
But I have been playing some tablet games and some indie games. I actually now have two games on my Steam.
I have one game on my Steam.
Well, technically I had Portal 2 on my old Steam, but that one got hacked, so I had to put a new one. So technically I should have had three, but whatever. So I have been playing on Steam a lovely little indie game by the name of Papers, Please.
Papers, Please.
Yeah. Which, you know, if you don't have a controlling complex at all, you will begin to develop one by playing this game. So it's a puzzle video game by Lucas Pope, who used to be part of the Naughty Dog crew. And he worked particularly exclusively on the Uncharted series, but said, you know what? It's like, fame is great, but I really want to do something a little different. And he left, and this is what he did. The game was initially released August 8th of last year. For Windows and for the iOS, which is great. I think later on, I think in February of 2014, there was a Linux version that was made available. So great to touch all the PC big wigs so that you can get your God complex on. So what happens in Papers, Please is you are in a fictitious country of Astrokia, which I'm not saying right, but that's how I'm going to say it, so I'm going to own it. You are an immigration inspector. It is your job to cipher through people with their passports and work permits from other countries and determine whether or not they are allowed to be in your country. And every day you get a little different note telling you the things that you have to look through. And the faster that you can determine whether or not people can come in and come out will determine how much money you make in a day. At the end of the day, it will give you a report of, you know, how many proper people came in, how many people that should not have made it through, got in, and you will get violation notices. You'll get little, you'll get little mistake pamphlets when you do something the wrong way, which on my first try, I got three in my first day, which is bad because then they shut down the border and you pretty much get fired and all your family die. And it can be polarizing. But as each of your days progress, something will happen. Somebody in your family might get sick. In my second day, my son got horribly sick and I did not make enough money to get him the best medicine. And then on day three, he died, but you can replay days over. So, hey, miraculously people can rise from the dead, which is great. As you progress through your days, like I said, you'll have that element going on, but your higher ups will also institute other things that you now have to start looking for. Oh no, people are counterfeiting their passports. Now you have to really look at them. Oh, you have to make sure that all the information is correct before you either stamp, reject, or deny. Because even if someone who lives in your country doesn't have the right paperwork, you cannot allow them in, which I learned the hard way. Some people will attempt to bribe you with sex or money. Some people might know that someone is in the line that could hurt them if they get through, and they might offer you something for you to deny them access to their country. I'm very truthful in my deliberations, and I have not allowed that to happen. I figure if you know someone is going to try to fuck up your Christmas, then you better be prepared for when they try to do that. If they have all the right paperwork and they have done nothing personally to me, I'm going to let them in. I need that money. My son is sick. Right. My wife hates my guts. Like, my grandfather.
It's
my
not easy.
I don't even know why. It's not. You know, and if you get too many violations overall, they'll send your family to work camps. Ooh. To work off your debt.
Not cool.
Yeah.
Not cool. Good at all.
And it's really, you know, it's pixely, like it's very retro themed. It's a lot of beeps and boops and there's not a lot of, you know, like vocal conversation. It's all very, you know, beepy and bloopy, but it is addictive because once you get into a flow of stuff, like, I mean, I will map out my table. So I have my rule book and I already know as soon as a paper comes in where I'm looking in my book to determine, and I'm just clicking away. So, I mean, I'm probably at like day 11 now and shit's now people are like, I have to, like, search people's bodies because they're, like, coming in with drugs on them now. And I get to body search now. Like, it's a little...
You're getting all up in them cavities.
Man, I am the TSA without the technology. I'm just the CA. I'm the...
You're just the SA?
Yeah, because there's you're no technology. I'm the saw. I'm the saw that knocks. And... I mean, it is addicting, and it is fun. I didn't think at first I was going to get the pattern right, and it is a rhythmic process, because if you don't get a certain amount of people in, like, it's $5 for every properly processed person. So, you know, if you don't get this down right in your day, you might only walk away with $5, maybe, if you're lucky, which then goes to rent that you owe and have owed for, like, 3 weeks, which is no good.
Nice, but bueno.
But it is fun. So if you have the, I think right now, I think it's still currently on sale for like $8 on Steam. Or if you have an awesome person who likes to give you things, see if they'll gift it to you for free.
I like freebies.
I like freebies. And this is one that if you get for free, you will enjoy it immensely. On the other side of stuff in my tablet world, I've been playing Game of Thrones Ascent. Which I spent some time with at PAX East a couple of weeks ago. Exactly, and it starts up that way every time I load it up. Nice. But the great thing about Game of Thrones Ascent is that you develop your character, and they're kind of in the sub-story stuff of what's going on in the main book. So you are living at the time that the Game of Thrones books start, but you are not a main character. Like, you'll never be Cersei, or you'll never be Jaime. You're another noble who is rising up, and you're pretty much managing your own little area, like your own King's Landing, though you can name it whatever you want. There are hired hands that will go out for you and will adventure and get strong so that when you start doing boss battles, that it's really interesting, their boss battle structure, because they give you so many hours to complete it, but they only give you so many turns that you can do in a given hour. So you have to repetitively go back to your tablet and then reorchestrate your moves. So it's not a continuous play at that moment. It really is a time management game that really will test your ability to remember that you have shit you have to do on your tablet. And if you don't, you'll fuck up, and then you'll have to fight something like level 90 when you're only level 30, and that never goes well, ever. And you can lose your hired hands. If they get beat up way too bad, they can die. My character, even though she's the character that's mine, I have not been able to use her in battle yet, which doesn't make sense because I am constantly getting stats. But I'm sure that once I get to a certain point in the game, I will be able to actually go out as my character, and I won't just be a delegator, but I'll be a actuator, because I like to make up words. Mm-hmm. But the great thing about Disruptor Beam's game is, one, they worked with George R. R. Martin on a lot of the story to make it feel very Game of Thrones and not, oh, we've all read the books, we can figure this out. They actually had some involvement with the man himself. They showed me the pictures of them eating pizza over it. So I was like, oh, you're legit. So Disruptor Beam was really smart about their layout for this game. They got involved with George R.R. Martin to get the story right, to get the feel right, so that it didn't just feel like a, you know, management game with a filter of Game of Thrones.
Right, because that's easy to do with a bunch of other games, which we've seen. It's just, hey, it's a capture the castle, but this is the theme that was thrown on top of it. Yeah. Nothing special.
Doesn't feel like that at all, which is great.
So it feels like part of the Game of Thrones lexicon.
Yes. Cool. I actually feel like if someone was like, you know what, I want to have a Game of Thrones experience, then they should totally pick this game up for their tablet, wait for what Telltale does with their piece of the Game of Thrones.
Mm.
So play Ascent. Play whatever Telltale delivers onto us, because we all know that's going to be good. Get the books, start reading the books, and watch the HBO show. And literally, I feel like once someone has done all these things, they will become George R.R. Martin.
They will become him?
Like, they'll be like, I am so of Game of Thrones that they'll go to the bathroom and look at their mirror, and boom, they'll be George R.R. Martin. Like, the transformation will be complete.
Okay, so then I can't play this because I don't want to have a penis.
Well,
and if I have to have a penis, I don't really want to have George R. R. Martin's penis. It's the same.
Well, I don't know what his penis looks like.
I don't want to have it.
But anyway,
because it's a gentleman penis, and that's just not for me.
Step away from the normal traditional game. You're not button, like, I mean, I play other games like 30 Second Life, where you're button mashing to depend on how your life goes. And this is a great step back, but also it's very rich in story and atmosphere. And the animation's actually really good, too. And I have not encountered any other players, because you actually can encounter other lords and ladies who might try to fuck up your shit. But no one's bothered me yet, which is kind of nice, because I don't want anyone to bother me, because I want to win. Not that you really win Game of Thrones. Like, it's not one of those games. There's no real end game, because as soon as you get the throne, someone wants to stab you.
The only winning move is not to play.
Except you want to play Ascent, because it's
Well, you want to play Ascent, but you don't really want to go for the throne, because anytime you go for the throne, you're going to be the motherfucker that everybody's going to try and get and kill.
Yep.
I mean, I have you read the books?
It's like, I can't.
You watch the TV series?
What I have learned so far from Game of Thrones is that if you're going to get married, for one, you don't have a big wedding for it. You just do it. You go to a priest or whatever. You bring some witnesses. You do it on the low, and you carry on with your day. Because the minute people know that there's a party, somebody wants to, I don't know, shoot you in your pregnant belly with arrows, or cut your head off, or sew your head and your mom's head on another body, and then cut up your wolfies, or, I don't know, poison you.
You know that.
I mean, parties get crunk, but I mean, it just gets straight up murderous up in Game of Thrones. Ain't no fun time at a wedding.
I'll tell you what. That's the thing that I have learned from watching Game of Thrones is when you get invited to a wedding,
don't go,
because there's gonna be death and dismemberment. Don't go. Just do not.
Send a nice card.
Send a gift. Maybe a concubine. I don't know what the appropriate things are, but don't go, because people die.
Even if they mention that they're going to have a big, delicious meat pie with birds in it, don't go.
Don't go to that, because it's not birds in the meat pie. It's people that they killed.
That they killed and baked.
Put in the meat pie.
That they are
going
to make you eat.
Yeah, so just don't go.
It's gross.
It's really, don't go. Weddings are not happy, joyous times.
So, needless to say, I've had a... And both of the games that I have been playing have a big control element. Like, you are in control of your story, which we all know I'm a big fan of narrative. So
you are in control of your story, or they pick your own destiny?
It's more like you control, like I control what quests in Ascent that I'm doing, and I decide based on how I answer questions or how I'm talking to the people I'm working with, will decide whether or not I am more truthful or I'm cunning, or who will open up their doors for me to allow to be alliances with. Like, right now, I'm primarily all Targaryen. Mm. Like, they seem to like how I roll. So, like, when something's going down, someone will be like, yo.
So you roll deep with the Targaryens, is what you're trying to say.
The Mother of Dragons says hello. Like, tell her I said what's up.
What up, Khaleesi?
Exactly. Like, and I'm...
Girl, how you doing?
But I'm sure if I had been more cunning and more deceptive, I would have been approached more by, like, Lannister people. Like, hey, we saw how you handled, you know, that thing. We could totally use you on our team, bro. And be like, I don't know. Or, you know, if you're all about the family, the Starks would be like, hey, I see you have a family. I have a family. We should be friends.
And maybe
we should have play dates.
Maybe we marry our kids together and then we could be family.
Exactly. Yay! So, like, and it's all very intricate stuff. Like, one conversation can totally lead you down a different path. Whereas in Papers, Please, if I fuck up too many times because I'm not paying attention, or someone's crying to me that, you know, they have a sick baby in a Astrokia and they have to get there, well, bitch, why'd you leave the country in the first place? Deny. I'm sorry. Get your shit together.
Be a better mommy. Don't leave your sick child.
Go prostitute in Kochekia or wherever and send the money to your hubby for your baby. Don't leave the country next time. Be more responsible. I'm sorry. I have a son who is very sick. Like, I see in the corner of my screen, he is, like, close to death right now. I cannot let you in. I'm sorry. Your tits are nice, but not enough for me to accept you into the country. I'm sorry.
All right, with that, I feel like I need to start playing Papers, Please, obviously.
It's really good. I think you'll enjoy it. And I know a bunch of people who are actively like, yep, family's at the work camp again. I'm like, what'd you do this time, man? Who'd you let in? Was it Sven? Did you let Sven in? You can't, no matter what he brings you, you can't let him in. He's bad news bears all the time.
Oh, we got it. Fuck Sven. All right. It's good to know.
But that's what I've been playing, and I'm all done.
Well, damn. That puts us right in line with being time to wrap this baby up. So you want to be sure that you catch our podcast by subscribing. You can do that in the iTunes application, either on your desktop or on your mobile device through the podcast application by searching for Electric Sisterhood, the Eshcast, and subscribing. You can also find us in the Microsoft Store as well as any other podcast search engine, including Stitcher. So if you like to get your radio via the Stitcher, we're there. So you can do that now. Like, make it a thing. But you can always get our feed from our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Make sure that you stop by there and get the feed if you prefer to bring it all into your feedolator. Because you could do that. That's definitely a thing. We won't tell you how to do it, just where you can do it. You can also catch our show on the VOG Network on Tuesdays, Voice of Geeks, because we're kind of nerdy. And when you're listening to our show, you can participate. Ask us questions. Let us know things that you want us to check out. That kind of thing.
Yeah, let us know. Like,
yeah,
John.
Like Jon Snow from Game of Thrones. I see what you did there. I see what you did.
<That's> funny.
You can also interact with us a bunch of different ways on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. On our Twitter feed, which is twitter.com/ESH News. You can, again, ask us questions. Tell us stuff that you want us to check out. Engage however you want. Favorite, retweet, get links. I don't care. We do it all. Just engage. We like to chitty chats. We're kind of chattery girls. That's what's up. You can also check out other shows from our network partners because we're not in this thing alone. Oh, no, no, no. You can catch on Tuesdays, typically, a brand new episode of No Borders, No Race. But there's a special episode going out this week, so you want to make sure that you check that out. Our homeboy KBD actually did an interview with Cuckoo Kangaroo on their new full-length record that they're releasing. You definitely want to check that out. It is a cool, cool, laid-back, kind of funny thing.
Cool kangaroo.
Because it's like a cool, cool thing when you have cuckoo kangaroo. So you definitely want to check that out. KBD holding it down. Check it out over at bossandbashbrigade.com. That's where you can get that feed. It's also in iTunes. So check it out. Subscribe. All that good stuff. On Wednesdays, feeding more EDM, trap music, trance, and just groovy shit in your ear holes is our homeboy, Deuces Wild, with a new episode of Geek Aggro. Make sure you check that out. And on Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he's got issues.
Y'all can have issues together. The issues guy over at the Issues Program, call in live, share your stuff, be part of it. Videos go up on YouTube. You definitely want to check it out. It is just fun. Period. End. Games, entertainment, doesn't matter. If it's nerdy in like even the remotest part, it's going to get a little love in some way on the Issues Program. So with that, I turn to my sister and I say, hey, yo, sis.
Yeah?
What shit you digging this week?
Steam. Not the steam from like a teapot, because that steam sucks. But this steam for your computer for gaming, totally cool.
Steam for gaming is good.
And what shit are you digging, sis?
I'm digging E3 because I am going. Flight set, room set, I'm totally stoked to be going. It's my
yay
seventh
for
one.
You.
I'm just, yes, yay for me. Yay for me. So I'm stoked. I'm just going to tell you right now, from here on out, there's going to be a little E3 in every episode. Because that's how stoked I am.
That's fine with me, E3.
Yeah, I see what you did there, too.
E3.
You're almost kind of like on a roll. So, as always, I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Make sure you check out our written articles on www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. And until next week, bye.
Stay classy, bitches.